Okay. So, yeah, I came to this church. It was Central Assembly of God in 1997. And I was here till maybe late of 2008, about 12 years. And then I went to Iowa School of Ministry in Des Moines. I spent 2 years at Iowa School of Ministry in Des Moines, and Pastor Mellendorf and Pastor Weiss were my mentors through that program. And then later on, Doug Collins and I started Radiant Life Community Church. I was there, just shy of 2 years, and then I went down to Pastor Ring's church in South Sioux. I was a pastor at his church. And then I was at Wally Green's church at Word of Life for about 7 years. And then we started up our Spanish church, Casa de Dios para las Naciones. And we've been in this building for about 3 years, so it's exciting to preach here. I preached in this building many times, but it's the first time that I've been able to preach for Cross Point or Central Assembly. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 15. And I'm going to be going through what is known as the prodigal son, but I've titled my message, The Lost Child. And the prodigal son means extravagant waste. And so I'm sure you know this story very well, but I hope to point out a few things, possibly different, maybe some things that you haven't heard before. And so in this story, these two sons are symbols of power for this family. The mother is not mentioned. There's not a daughter that is mentioned in this story. But in the time of this family, the date and time, daughters were definitely loved by their parents, but most of the daughters were wed off into other families. And there was an Old Testament wedding contract, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, and it was called the Ketubah. And it was a wedding contract that protects the bride's rights and gives her financial security. So the daughters were not held in prominent positions as the sons were in that time, but today it is quite different. And our sons and daughters are held in an equal measure, but today young men and young ladies often go astray. So that's why I titled this The Lost Child, just to minister to all. So if you could, if you're able to, could you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? If you are unable, that's no problem. If you become tired, please sit down. All right? So, in the parable of the lost son in Luke 15:11, let's start. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So, in a very strong way, he was saying to his father, I wish you were dead, give me the money. That's how blatant, how strong this came across. But yet, the father gives him the money. It's just amazing. The young man said to him, give me the money that falls to me. So he divided it to them, his livelihood. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and journeyed to a faraway country, where he wasted the possessions on prodigal living. But when he had spent it all, there arose a famine in the land. And he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to the fields to feed swine. So this citizen most likely wasn't Jewish. He was a Gentile because he raised pigs, and the pigs were detestable to a Jewish family. So he's out there living with pigs, sleeping with pigs, and he's desiring the food that the pigs have. So, he sent him to the fields to feed the swine, and he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish in hunger? I will arise, I will go to my father, I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants.'" So he had a change of heart. And in Psalm 51:17, it says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." So he has this, he comes to himself. And he arose, and he wants to go to his father. He wants to seek out his father and rekindle that relationship. Come in repentance, because he has realized how far he has sank and the misery that he's living in. And he arose, and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father had compassion and ran. He ran to him. But I believe every day his father checked the horizon because he loved his son. There probably wasn't a day that went by that he looked out and he was looking for his son because he missed him. He loved him. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't know where he went. But he yearned to have that relationship with his son. But when his father saw him, he ran to him. And in those days, it was undignified for an older man to run. He would have to gird up his clothing and run, but he didn't care because of his great love that he had for his son. His father had kissed him on his neck, and his son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father, just instantly, he calls out and he says to the servants, "Bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and he began to be merry." Please take your seats now, and I will finish out this scripture up here, because it's a long time to stand, I know. So, now the older son was in the field, and he came, and he drew near the house, and he heard the music and dancing. So he called to one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fattened calf." But he was angry. He would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his son, "Lo, these many years I have served you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never have given me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as your son, this son of yours, comes, who devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fattened calf." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and now is found." This is a magnificent story. It's one of the most popular parables that Jesus spoke about. In this story, we see God's grace, his authority, and his word that is directed towards us. So let's embrace this. Let's pray. Father, we pray in Jesus' name for your word to touch our hearts. We thank you for this spoken word. We thank you for your written word. We pray that it changes our lives, Lord. We pray that we'd follow after you and we'd learn to forgive others as you have forgiven us. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we are in Luke 15. I'd like you to go to Luke 15, verse 1. And so, in Luke 15, we're going to go through the entire chapter, basically. So Jesus is sharing and he's speaking parables to the common people. He's talking to the tax collectors, the scribes, the Pharisees are there, and they are listening. Jesus speaks about the lost sheep, he speaks about the lost coin, and he speaks about the prodigal son. All of this is spoken in this chapter. Jesus wanted to spend time with everyday people. The so-called sinners that the Pharisees couldn't stand. The Pharisees didn't want to be around them. They thought that if they could live separate lives, trying to be perfect, that that would bring salvation unto them. Jesus spent time with people. He hung out with them. He spoke to them. He showed love to them. He talked to them. But the Pharisees saw it, and they hated it. Jesus was driven by love and compassion because he came to seek and save those who are lost. Amen? In the three parables, Jesus speaks about rejoicing over what was lost is now found. And so, when we summarize those parables, with the lost sheep, Jesus, he talks about this shepherd that is searching for this lost sheep. And the shepherd searches the hills, the valleys. And finally, at some point, he finds this lost sheep. And when he finds it, if it's a small lamb, he hoists it on his shoulders in a place of security. And he's rejoicing that he has this lost sheep. And many times we have been there, right? And when we come back to Christ, and he puts us in a place of honor, and he wants to tell everybody that this lost sheep has come home. And he carries it, and he's rejoicing that this lost sheep has come home. And in the scripture here at the end of that parable, it says, I say to you that likewise there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 persons who need no repentance. And in the story of the lost coin, I always thought this was just really not that important. I read the story and it's like, well, this lady lost a coin and she found it. What's the big deal in that? Until you read the footnotes and you read deeper into the story. And these 10 coins were given to her by her betrothed. And those 10 coins were to be in her wedding headdress. And so, us as the bride of Christ, Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle, a bride that's complete. So, can you imagine this young lady going to her wedding incomplete? The people in the congregation would see it. They'd be embarrassed. She would be embarrassed to present herself as incomplete. And the bridegroom would have been ashamed or embarrassed to see that his bride is incomplete. But she lights a lamp, she cleans the entire house, and she finds that coin. And what's she do? She wants to tell everybody. She's rejoicing. She's so happy because she wants to be complete on that day. just as us, as the bride of Christ. Amen? And so, going back to the prodigal son, you know, inheritances are passed down to children and grandchildren from the owner of the estate. And on rare occasions, a wealthy owner can give out a trust fund to family members. But on extremely rare occasions, the entire inheritance is given out to a child before the owner's death. But this young man, he wanted the entire inheritance right now. He didn't care about his father. He just cared about himself. And so perhaps he didn't want to wait until his father had passed away. And he wanted to enjoy it now before he became old. And so it's amazing that the father gave out this money. And if you notice, in verse 12, it says he gave it to them. And so, I want to know, in this story, which character in the story best represents you? The loving father? The prodigal son? Or the angry, bitter brother? Because one of the characters has to, you know, minister to you in some way. But, or perhaps, maybe you don't want any part of it. Maybe you want to be like one of the servants in the background and you just want to stay out of the whole message. You know, so us as humans, we have a dark heart. And so we definitely will identify with one of the characters in this story. But we all know, truthfully, in this story, the story speaks about us. This story is our story. All of the sin, all of the greed, all of the lust, all of the rebellion, all of this, all of these failures that we see with this prodigal son, we've gone through. And we always had to come back to Christ, and he runs to us with his love. He's ready to hear our repentant heart. So he runs to us despite our failures. So it has to be the prodigal son that we identify with the most. This young man, he leaves the restrictions of his parents. He moves to a faraway country where he is unknown. He is anonymous, and he's thinking that he has true freedom in life. There's no restraints, and he's like a sailor on shore leave. So he wastes all of his possessions, he wastes his father's money, and this famine comes, and this Jewish boy has to live with pigs. The party is over, and in Leviticus 11:7, it talks about how unclean this animal is. And growing up, this young Jewish boy learned this, that the Jew, about Jewish law, that the pig was an unclean animal. But yet, look where he's at. So plan A did not work. He's out of money. So he finally comes to his senses, and he has a repentant heart. And he returns to his father. His father saw him coming. And again, like I had mentioned, it was undignified for anyone over 40 to be running. But with the love of his father, he didn't care. He ran to his son with love, covered him with a robe, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, and he said, "My son was dead, and now he's alive." If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. So, as you're turning, I'm going to read what is known as, I grew up Catholic, so it was called the Our Father. But we know it is the Lord's Prayer. It's awesome scripture. But it says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debtors as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil and from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, verse 14 and 15 is what I want to stress right here. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So the older brother was angry. He did not want to forgive. How about you? Would you be willing to forgive? Who do you have in your life that you need to forgive? Could you start playing that last song for me, please? Just very low volume. So if you look around, even in this room, is there someone that you need to go to? Someone that you need to forgive? Because even as a church, draw me close to you. We always have issues that come up. And as a church body, we need to walk in forgiveness, amen? And so, in the past 8 or 9 months, forgiveness has really been heavy on my heart. And so, I've read this scripture over and over in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. And I started listing names of people that I have offended, people that I need to forgive. And there were some people in the church that I belong to. There were some people here in this church that I had to go to. There's a person that was in this church many years ago that would still love to go and talk to that person and offer forgiveness. Because we need to forgive our mothers, our fathers. We need to forgive our brothers and sisters, people in church, our neighbors, co-workers. And so I even wrote a letter to all of my brothers and sisters, and I included that scripture from Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. And I stated in this letter those words, and plus, that I forgive them, and I'm praying that they would forgive me. Because I want to walk in forgiveness. I want to have a clean slate. I want to be forgiven. I want to have that holiness of God. And I don't want anything charged against me. And I just pray that any offense that I've had, that I've offered, that I've hurt somebody, I pray that that would be washed away by the blood of Jesus. And I know all of us fall short. We have moments that we need forgiveness, not only from our Heavenly Father, but from our family and friends and people that we go to church with. And I pray that we would have the ability to seek that grace, to give that grace, to give forgiveness to one another. And God forgives us. He runs to us with His love. And this prodigal son had a repentant heart. And he wanted to go to his father. And we need to go to our father. We need to ask for forgiveness. So I encourage you to make an appointment with somebody that you've hurt, somebody that you fought with, somebody that you offended. Because forgiveness is vital. And if you have a pen and piece of paper, or if you can just think of them, I would write those names down. Make sure that you get in contact with them. Let's pray about that, and then we'll be closing here soon. Dear Heavenly Father, there is no way to go through life without hurting somebody, offending people, because we fail. We are human. We get mad. We get upset about little things, and it causes such a rift in our family, in our church, in our business. But Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that we could go to them, rekindle that relationship only by the power of your blood, by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray there would be forgiveness and we'd walk in that in Jesus' name. Amen. One last thing. I don't know everybody in this room. I don't know where you stand. I don't know if you're saved or not saved. But salvation is important. And in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And in Romans 10:9-10, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you desire to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, please pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that Jesus died on the cross for me, and I admit that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I accept Jesus as my Lord, as my Savior. Change me. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it talks about a life that is changed, becoming a new creature. You're passing from death into life. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would accept Christ as Lord and as Savior today. In Jesus' name, amen.